I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bracia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello, welcome Super Mamas. Welcome to the Super Mamas podcast, your favorite podcast with your favorite hosts, Bricia Lopez. My sister's not here this week. Unfortunately, something came up and she couldn't make it, but I'm here. You get me. I was really, really excited to record this week with her because we were just going to talk all things Valentine's, but we'll leave that conversation for another day. I am excited to be here. It is Valentine's week. And this year, I am excited to, as I was talking to our guest earlier today, I was telling her that right now we are in the stage where Valentine's is around our kids and the kids are being more aware of what it means to have Valentine's. And I have a middle schooler. And so Valentine's is changing and shifting. And my husband and I, he asked me the other day, are you going to work on Valentine's? I said, yes, as I do every year, because in the restaurant business, whenever you have a holiday, we don't. So yes, it's one of the busiest days in the restaurant, thank God. And so I will be working. And then the other part of the day will be spent with my children. So that's how I'm going to be spending Valentine's. And then maybe later in the weekend, my husband and I can figure out to do something. We'll probably do a little staycation, maybe an overnight sleepover somewhere, just him and I. That's what we try to do because I don't know. Valentine's is important and it has changed over the years with us. But I think right now we really want to spend it with the children. I will let you know what he comes up with. I was hinting things here and there. But yeah, I don't know what it is. Also, I would say, even though Valentine's is a big day, don't put too much emphasis on that day. Let's love each other every single day. Let's love our mates every single day. Let's try to put work into our relationship every single day, not just on Valentine's, because it's kind of expected when you put all the effort in one day. How about let's just do it on a random Saturday and a random Sunday? I'm not anti-Valentine's at all. I love it. I love all the hearts and all the things and all. I mean, I love it. I'm already doing the little cards with my children and doing all the treats and all that stuff. I love it, but I'm just saying, like, don't put all the emphasis on just one day. By the way, shout out to producer Beth, who just told me she got engaged. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be your first engaged Valentine. So scratch everything I said, Beth. You should and you deserve the best Valentine's this year because you are engaged and your boyfriend should be your fiance, I should say, should make it a big deal. And that conversation today in the show, we have an amazing guest who is going to talk to us about all things dating, love, and she is an expert in this. Our guest today is one of my dearest friends. She is actually the mother of one of my daughter's best friends, Damona Hoffman, who is a certified dating coach and is a regular in the Drew Barrymore show. She is a regular cast member of the Drew Barrymore Show and a frequent contributor to NPR, the Washington Post, the LA Times, Access Hollywood, etc., etc., etc. Damona also has a podcast called Dates and Mates, and the podcast was named Podcast of the Year at the Black Podcasting Awards in 2022. Oof, you know, just something light. Damona just published her first book, F the Fairy Tale, which is available everywhere you find books. F the Fairy Tale, Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story. She comes to give us so much insight on the current dating world. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin dating nowadays, but we also talk about just relationships in general, what she has found is happening after the pandemic, how to keep your relationship going, some of the things that we need to work on. And if you are a single mom out there who is trying to find her way into the dating pool again, this is definitely the episode to watch. Damona is the person that you should be following. And I love it. Take notes, guys. Share with a friend. And yes, you know what? Enjoy Valentine's Day with your kids, with your significant other. You know what? Let's make it a whole week. It should probably be Valentine's week. You know what I'm excited for, though? Galentine's. I'm so excited to spend time with some of my girlfriends. So I can't wait to tell you what I did. And without further ado, here is your interview with Damona Huffman. Welcome back to the show, Damona. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you again.
You know, it's so crazy that our children are such good friends and we rarely get to see each other. How crazy is that?
I know. The next generation's always improving on the model, right?
I was just talking to Beth, the producer. I was like, you know, our kids are best friends. And I'm like, and I rarely get to see Damona. I mean, you're such a busy woman and entrepreneur and doing all amazing things. But yes, our children are besties since they were like tiny, tiny, tiny. But welcome to the show again. I mean, I cannot wait to hear all the amazing things that you have been doing, accomplished since the last time you were here. But before we get into all of that, for the moms, the super mamas, the amazing women out there that have not and do not know who Damona Huffman is, please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you live with, what you do, just all amazing Damona things, please.
So who am I? I am a certified dating coach and relationship coach. I am also the author of the new book, F the Fairy Tale, Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story. But it's also for people who are in relationships and it's for people who are coming back into dating after maybe having been in relationships that didn't work out long term. I have been coaching people on dating and relationships for 17 years, but now some of the Super Mamas listeners may know me from my podcast, Dates and Mates, which I'm in season 11 for, or from the Drew Barrymore Show, where I'm the official love expert and do her dating and relationship segments with her.
You know, nothing major. You're just out there killing it with Drew Barrymore, writing books, with the podcast now. Wow, like so much has happened, girl. Like,
I'm just a mom. I'm just Julian's mom. That's it. Isn't that funny how people just like define you as like you're so-and-so's mom?
Yes, exactly. So, and that is the beauty. And that's what I love about the Super Mamas. It's like, yes, we are moms. And this whole Super Mama started as talking about motherhood and stuff. But now that our children have grown and we have grown out of our children, now we're like, no, we're more than that. We are a complete, full on grown woman that are killing it and making amazing things out there. Not just Sabina's mom or Julian's mom. No, we are more than that.
That's right.
Congratulations on your book. I know you have a signing today also. Shout out.
Yes. And thank you to Gelaguetza for being one of our partners and helping bring the fun.
You know, you bring the love, I'll bring the food. Don't worry about that. You know, we partnered together before and it's always fun. So tell me about this book. You know, my sister has written books, but it's like, it's very different, right? When you write like a cookbook, it's very different than writing about love and writing about all these things. I'm assuming this book has been in your heart for a long time. Tell me how it came to be. When did it start? Now I've been looking at your socials and I'm like, wow, you are everywhere. I know you're touring. I know how exhausting that is. I've seen it on my end with my sister. I don't do it, but my sister does it. And I know how hard it is. But tell me what the process is like, what the book is about. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's a labor of love, Paulina, of course.
I know.
And already I'm on the road for the Drew Barrymore Show every few weeks anyhow. So I'm kind of used to the hustle and bustle. And I kind of love that. But this book, you're right, it had been in my heart for a long time. And it's really the culmination of so many years of work. Like I was saying, I've been hosting the Dates and Mates podcast for 11 seasons, like 11 years since before podcasting was cool. And I really was noticing a shift in the trends, in the questions that I get on Dates and Mates, and just attitudes around dating that I felt like I needed to address. And I felt like the time was really now. Dating burnout was at an all-time high. A lot of people had adopted dating apps that had never really considered them before during the pandemic. The pandemic made us all question everything about how we were living our lives. And I just really wanted to, first of all, name that feeling that a lot of people were having, and also give people a roadmap to be able to take back their power in dating and relationships and realize that your love story, it's not happening to you. It's not pre-written for you. It's something that you are co-creating every day. And People think when they hear the title F the Fairy Tale that it's going to be a cynical book about love and that I'm telling people, oh, you can't have love. You can't have a successful relationship. That's not it at all. I've been with my husband for 20 years and we've never been happier. But it's a reminder that you are a part of creating that experience and writing your love story yourself.
Oh, I love that. I know you and I had a conversation not so long ago about the pandemic and how it affected relationships. You know, I was sharing with you that my therapist was telling me that so many people are having relationship problems after the pandemic because we were forced to be in an enclosed space for such a long time and really be on top of each other all the time. And there's been a lot of separations, divorces, trials. I know personally, a lot of my friends are going through rough times in their marriages as well. And I think it's all of the leftovers of the pandemic that are happening. And you and I were having this conversation about like, somebody should be talking about this. Somebody should be, you know, helping because it is kind of like an epidemic that is happening with relationships. Last year, my husband and I sat down and had like very serious conversations about being intentional about a relationship. I still want to like you after the kids leave. I still want to pretty much like, I still want to keep it cool with you after we are all left alone because it's not only about the children. And so I think that your book comes in a really good time for that.
Yeah. Relationships really have phases too. And you and I are both in the phase of co-parenting, raising kids, and trying to also then carve out time for our relationship to make that a priority. And I also am fully accepting that when the kids are out of the house, we're going to move into a different phase. And there will be more conversations and more iterations of what the relationship looks like. And that does require both people to be invested in the long goal of the relationship. And I know that has become a challenge for a lot of people where maybe during the pandemic, you took some time to go inward and figure out what you wanted. And then you're like, hey, partner, can we go to therapy? Can we talk about this? Can we plan? And there were, you know, I'm not going to throw men under the bus, but the stats show that women spent that time in isolation doing more self-discovery than men did. So we're kind of left in a little bit of an unbalanced situation. But the way I see it, the pandemic was an amplifier. It illuminated the challenges that were already there. So while we may have been able to brush things under the rug when we were all going in a million different directions and taking kids to and from and focusing on our work and getting out of the house, we have been really forced in the last 4 years to take a good look in the mirror and to be constantly confronted with and have the challenges that were inherent before be amplified in our face every single day. So I think that's why we're seeing this now as things are opening back up. People are really saying, okay, now that I don't have to endure this kind of struggle in my relationship, and I've done this personal development, self-growth, and self-care, is this really what I want for the future?
I think we all go through those stages, and relationships in general, not only marriages, but relationships in general have like their ups and downs, and the downs are really downs and really, really low, and the highs are really high. And you have to be able to have tools and help. I think like women are more open to receiving help than men. And something like this, having maybe a book instead of like, hey, let's go to therapy. You know, it only took me about 19 years to get my husband into therapy, but he finally is going. And I realized, and I always tell my friends, the moment that I stopped trying to tell him like, you need to change, you need to do this, da, da, da. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to change myself. And then that's all I can do. That's when he all of a sudden was like, I think I need to go to therapy. I think I need to do this. I think I need to do that. And I was like, oh my God, I've only been telling you for the last 10 years of a relationship, but that's what happens.
Yeah. And you just demonstrated perfectly the right way to approach challenges in a relationship. You can't force anybody, even your own spouse, to do what they don't want to do. But you can lead by example and you can say, you know, this is how I coach people to have these tough conversations is to start with a personal share. I have noticed that I feel a lot better going to therapy. I am getting a lot of value out of therapy, and it's really changing me in the way that I look at things. And then you can ask the question, how would you feel about going to therapy? Or whatever the challenge is, it's starting with a personal share and then sort of an open-ended question to let people do that self-discovery and self-inquiry on their own so that they come to the table in their way when they're ready. Because anytime you try to force, I mean, we know this as parents, right? You try to force an outcome, girl, you're going to be disappointed and frustrated.
For sure. So I have a question. What I've seen around me with different situations and for the super mamas, like usually, you know, we're talking about super mamas, so they have children. I think sometimes relationships, a lot of relationships I decided based on that. I have kids, so therefore I have to. I have kids, so therefore I can't. I have kids, so this. And I mean, more often than not, I feel like the kids are going to be affected regardless. I think like if you stay in a bad relationship or if you leave a relationship, like, how do you approach that? You know, how do you approach those conversations or those thoughts? Because I can only speak from my experience, but from what I've heard from other friends and people that I know, it's like, I'm still putting up with this because of my children. And what are your thoughts on that on relationships? Because, like, you know, sometimes people just feel like I need to move on, but I can't because of the children.
It's really an excuse. It's a mask because it's painful. I mean, unraveling years of a relationship and a life together, that's a lot. And a lot of times we're not ready to do all that, let alone think about how are we going to re-enter the dating pool? How am I going to make enough money in a single income household? Like all of the real world questions that come up with the consequence of ending a relationship. And so then we put that on, well, it's because the kids. It'd be easier for the kids. No, really, it would be easier for you. But ultimately, you have to ask yourself, what is the consequence of not taking action? Because not taking action is also a choice. We forget that. And there are consequences that we will experience, emotional and even in some situations, physical. There are consequences of not leaving a relationship. And I can say, as someone who is a child of divorce, and my parents were on again, off again for about 5 years. My dad moved in and out of the house like 3 times. And if they were staying together for me, thank you, but no thank you. I didn't need that kind of that kind of back and forth, that kind of unpredictability of not knowing, like, are my parents going to be together? Are they not together? They ultimately got divorced when I was 17. And everyone was so much happier because the relationship wasn't working for a long time. It wasn't functional. And I could move forward and be okay with it once a clear decision was actually made.
True that. And also, I think like at the end of the day, we come to live this life. We only have one life and we got to be happy and we got to live it the best that we can. I always think about that because we're not getting any younger and we cannot get it. The time is the most precious thing we have. And we need to figure out how to spend that wisely and how to spend that better, right? With our partners and still have fun. And I also, this last year, marked my 20th year anniversary with my husband. And I'm like, I can't even believe we've been together for that long. And people always ask me, like, how do you guys do it? And I'm like, it's hard. It requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of like self in, you know, being really aware of what I need to work on. But what would you say, like, are some of the things, because when people think about relationship coaching and all of that, we only think about single people and, like, you know, like how to find a new mate and all of that. But I think it also is work within the relationship. We also, like, we grow. I'm a totally different person than the person my husband met 20 years ago. So I feel like we're constantly getting to know each other, constantly courting each other, constantly doing that. What are some of the things that you, as a relationship coach, tell already established couples on how to keep the relationship going and making it work?
Well, I say in F the Fairy Tale that I break down a lot of myths and the four biggest dating myths, but I also identify this idea of relationships are work as a myth, because it's not work in the way that I think most people think of work. It's not work like I'm punching a clock and like slogging through the day, right? It's the kind of work like you and I do. We love to show up for it. And what I say about relationships is that they're a mirror. They will illuminate your greatest strengths, and they will also show you your growth areas. I don't want to say weaknesses, but you know, the places where you need to work. So I love that you mention you're changing and you're learning about yourself. And through the relationship, especially a long-term relationship like the one you have and the one I have, we are able to track that evolution of ourselves through the way that our relationship evolves. But it is a constant process, as you said, of courting, of communicating, of showing up, of creating anticipation, of continuing to make that mutual investment in this third thing that emerges. You know, you have your two individuals, you have the kids, but then there's the relationship is sort of a third character in the story itself.
I love to hear about those myths that you're talking about. Like, I've just like a brief snippet. Guys, get the book. Please get the book. Where can we find this book? But like, just like a little snippet so people can, you know, like a little preview of what you're writing there.
Yeah. So the book is available everywhere that you get your books, in hardcover, ebook, and audiobook. So Audible or Spotify or...
Is it your own voice?
Yes, girl.
Oh my God.
I can't have somebody else telling my story, especially as a podcaster. It was really important to me to record the book myself. But, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you like to get your books. But what I will say about the myths, the dating myths are different than the relationship myths. So maybe the next book will be about the relationship myths. This one is really about the elements that a lot of people missed when they moved into relationships. And for those who are dating, it is a roadmap to create a stronger foundation getting started. So even if you're finding yourself in a relationship and you're like, oh no, I didn't do it right, you always have an opportunity to revise the story. So the myths are the list myth. This is like all of that, the checklist of criteria, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all had that.
We all had it. And it's not that I'm saying we shouldn't have any criteria that we are looking for in a match. I'm just asking people to really examine the criteria, because I see a lot of people cutting and pasting and copying other people's lists or going with no list at all. Then we move into the rules myth. Everybody wants a hack. Like, TikTok is so popular because everybody's like, what's the shortcut? What's the hack? Tell me how to do it. And I'm much more about tools over rules, like giving people the tools to be able to do this themselves, instead of just saying like, here are all the steps and you just go A, B, C, D, E, and then voila, you'll be in the perfect relationship. We both know that's a myth.
Yeah.
But then we have to get into the real world and into real communication and connection and the chemistry myth. Now, I know a little bit about your love story. I know y'all came in hot. But I see that a lot of people are sort of chasing this idea of chemistry, and it prevents them from really being able to make deeper level connections, because they second guess if they don't have that magic the first time they meet someone. They think, oh, well, this is not meant to be. And a lot of times we'll retroactively tell the story to fit. We'll say, oh, but I heard that when Paulina saw her husband, there are sparks right away. And there's so many stories that you hear. And I tell the story in the book about someone that I met that I had immediate sparks. Girl, by the end of the date, I was already like writing my name next to his last name. Like, I thought I had the whole future planned, and it was a facade. We didn't even go on a second date. And it was so funny, because when my husband read the book before the book was out, the story was so similar to our story. He said he actually was like, wait a minute, that didn't happen. Call my brother on the date. Like, he thought he was reading his own story. And that just goes to show you how we kind of make the story fit sometimes. And then a lot of that is because we're caught up on the soulmate myth. And that's the last one. This is just the idea that there's one perfect person out there for you. And I'm much more about choosing your soulmate every day. It is a choice. It is not something that I believe is predetermined.
I love that because, you know, you have to choose your partner every day. And I think those still apply to established relationships. I do want to say that I was 23 when I met my husband. And you know, at that age, the hormones are like all the way up. So it was sparkles. It was all of that. But then again, like I said, I am not the same person that I was. And I don't know. I think like the older that you get, you know, you start changing, your mentality changes, you change. And so I wouldn't even know where to begin nowadays. You know, I think about all my single moms out there that are trying to find a new mate, that are dipping their feet into the dating pool. Like, I mean, in 2024, I mean, 20 years ago, it was at a bar, you know, blah, 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 all the things that happened before. But now in 2024, how does one even start that, Damona? Like, where do people find mates nowadays? One. Second, I think also women have changed a lot. In the past few years, we are very different. And I feel, I don't know what you think, but I feel like now men are very intimidated by strong women sometimes. And some men are like, yeah, I'm all about supporting strong women. But when it comes down to it, and when you are such a busy person and you're traveling and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're that, and then your partner is like, oh my God, what's happening? Why aren't you here? Where, you know, when it was before, if men would do that, nobody would even give a second thought about it. I found recently that women are scrutinized so much for going out there and pursuing their dreams because everybody's like, yeah, go strong woman. But when it really comes down to it, some men are not really that open to accepting that. And they kind of like get really intimidated, let's say. Let's put that word, that nice word. But it just, I get really upset when that happens because I'm like, that's such a double standard. If a man were to go out and travel and do all these things, no one says anything. But if it's the woman, it's like, you're a bad woman, you're a bad mother, you know, blah, 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 like all these things. So I think it's hard for women. It's harder for women. And like, how does one even start that?
Yeah. And if I had a dime for every time somebody was like, wait, but you work on the Drew Barrymore show in New York? So who's watching your kids? I'm like, they would never even bat an eyelash, ask my husband one question. Who's with your kids when you're on set for 3 weeks?
Exactly.
That's a hot button issue for me. I'll set that aside. What I'll say is, yes, there are still
some men. We need to have a whole episode on that.
Right? There are still some men that are not okay with a strong woman. And you know what? That's fine because there are also some women who are traditionalists. There's a big sort of trend towards, you know, I forget the term. They're like a wife traditionalism. And that's great. The thing is, you get to write your own love story. And there are plenty of other men who are very attracted to women who are ambitious, who are high earning, who speak their mind, who are all the things that you and I are, who are super mamas, who really have clarity on what they want. Like I will say, when I was looking for a partner, I was really clear that I was going to be a contributor to the family financially, that I was going to be working, that I had ambitions and goals. And I was 100% focused on finding somebody who wanted an equality partnership and was not going to have an ego. I went so far as like, you and I have done vision board workshops. We've led vision board workshops together. Girl, I even like pictured it out. Maybe he could be a writer who writes from home while taking care of the kids. And then I can be out doing my thing out in the world. And if you wouldn't believe, my husband is a writer who works from home. Like, woo! But our
arrangement. An amazing husband, by the way.
An amazing guy. And our arrangement would not work for everybody. And some people would be like, oh, but your husband isn't chivalrous. He doesn't open doors for you or whatever that idea of what the traditional gender roles should be and who should do what, because we don't buy into any of that crap. I just want somebody that is not going to have an ego about being an equal partner in our household and somebody who's literally a partner who works with me to build our life together every day. And that's what I have found. So, to answer your question, for single moms, this is actually the best time ever in history for you to be single. Because even if we look back 10 or 20 years ago, if a woman was divorced or widowed, the options were pretty limited in terms of who you could meet and bring into your social circle again. So you got to wait for somebody else to get divorced. You had to chase somebody else's husband around, whatever. With dating apps, that has expanded the pool exponentially. And especially for women over 40, that is one of the most successful groups on dating apps. And I think it's because of this reason, because otherwise you wouldn't have a way to make these connections, but it's also very efficient. If you can be communicating, you put your kid to bed and you're communicating with dates and lining up dates for the weekend when you don't have your kids, and you can focus on being a sexual, attractive, desirable being for your dates and possibly your next partner, then you can really manage your dating life in a way that just really wasn't even possible before this technology existed.
But now that sounds very attractive, Damona. Like what you're explaining, like it's all me. Like, don't let my husband know this, please. That like 40-year-old women are hot right now. Are a hot commodity right now.
Yeah, and a lot of them are also dating younger, which we haven't seen in prior generations.
I've seen that recently. I saw, what's her name? Is it Sienna Miller, right? She's like dating she's like pregnant of like a 25-year-old gorgeous man. And I was like, whoa, it's changing. It's definitely shifting a lot, right?
Everything is changing. And that's what I love. I love that we have spent the time in the pandemic figuring out what we really need. And now we're getting to see people put that into practice. Now, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I know it does take time and effort and focus. And it can be very overwhelming, especially if you haven't done it before. I think the biggest thing that has shifted actually in the time that I've been a dating coach is the amount of communication that we have, like the speed of dating. So before, if my client had, you know, a date a quarter, they were like doing pretty good. Now the expectation is you're lining up two or three dates in a weekend or in a week. And in between that, now so much of the screening process that I call it is happening in the DMs on the dating apps or on Instagram. It's definitely going down in DMs. We just had a couple on the Drew Barrymore show that met through Facebook and started a relationship in the DMs. But we're having so many different conversations that are occurring at the same time that can be very overwhelming for your brain if you're not used to it. And when you overlay also your responsibilities as a parent, it's really important to be organized in your dating life so that you don't get into that state of overwhelm.
I'm overwhelmed already. What do you mean I have to organize? Like, I'm like, what?
Girl, I got like a date tracker, DamonaHoffman.com/date tracker. So you can literally take stock of what's happening on your dates.
Really?
We get caught up in the fantasy and we'll be like, oh, well, yeah, I like that guy and he pursued me or whatever. And you'll forget, oh, except for I really felt unsafe or he wasn't really listening to me or like really record what happened. Like, I created that when I was writing for the Washington Post. I did a column called Date Lab where we would set people in readers of the Washington Post in the DC area up on dates and they'd submit to be in the database and we were like matchmaking and then we'd write about what happened. And I would always tell them, when you get home, make sure you jot down a few notes about what happened because I have to write an article about this and I'm going to ask you some very detailed questions tomorrow or the next day that you're going to need to be able to answer. Meanwhile, everybody's drinking, right, to be more comfortable on dates. And they're like, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. I would say 9 out of 10 times they don't write anything down. And then I'm literally talking to them the next day and I'm like, what were some of the topics you discussed? What? How did you feel when you arrived? What was your first impression of them? They're like, let me think. Hold on. Like, even the next day, you don't remember. So if we want to get away from storytelling and filling in those gaps, it's really important to track what's happening, even to track what's happening on your dating app, like which profile photos are getting the best results, are getting the most engaging matches and messages. And really use all of those skills that you've developed as a parent, in your professional life. Use everything you've got to be successful in your dating life too.
Look, I love that we're having this conversation and you're normalizing this, because at least in our culture and the Latino community, my parents till this day think like, if someone goes on a dating app, you're probably going to get kidnapped. And, you know, it's still that mentality. Like, you can't date on an app. What do you mean? Like, you don't know them. Like, it's a stranger. It's so scary. But I love that you're normalizing this and talking about it. And I definitely will recommend to everyone that is looking to enter the dating pool to check out your book and check out your website and everything you do, your podcast, because it's a whole new world out there. The things that have changed in the last, 10 years are incredible. So if you've been in a long-term relationship and you are starting to relive a new life, you definitely got to get new skills. Like everything in life, right? You got to get the new skills. You got to get up with the youngsters. You got to go see what's out there. Because, I mean, half of the things that you're saying, I'm like, what? What do you mean I got to track? Like, one more thing to track? That is a lot of work. And I think, like, that's what a lot of people say. I'm like, they're like, dating is so, it's a lot of work. I have a friend that's out there meeting people. And every time I talk to her, she's like, I'm exhausted. It's so hard out there. Oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, no, I wouldn't even know where to start. So DamonaHuffman.com, guys, go check it out. Go put all, enter your data. She can really help you match you. Do you do this locally in LA, all over the country? Are you doing it all over?
So I don't personally match. I teach you how to be your own best matchmaker, but I have tons of tools at DamonaHuffman.com. And obviously Dates and Mates is a great place to start. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's okay. I got you. I can walk you step by step through the process. And of course, if you get F the fairy tale, that will show you just how it's done.
Read the book. Also, I know Valentine's is coming up and everybody's like, oh my God, I'm so lonely on Valentine's. I think there's also like Valentine's is it's a big time where people either get stuck on relationships because they're like, I don't want to be alone on Valentine's. And then you get stuck with the ugly duckling of the party.
And then how many times, like when you are in a relationship, are you like, oh yeah, it's Valentine's Day. It looms so large.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to go out on Valentine's.
It's going to be cold. I don't want to get dressed. Like, nah.
Yeah. Nah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I love you. Here's some flowers. Yeah, I really do feel like Valentine's should be any day. And we should make an effort all the time because honestly, nowadays, my life is a little bit more boring than yours, Amona. On Valentine's, about the kids. I'm in that stage still when it's like, let's spend time with the kids. And then let's figure out to do something on the weekend, just you and I, you know, like let's do something at another time. But I really appreciate all of the input that you brought onto the show. I think, again, culturally for Latinas, it's a scary topic. It's a topic that families are, once you are in a relationship and you're getting out of a relationship, when you start dating again, the family looks down upon that. And there's a lot of criticism and a lot of that. So I love that you're normalizing those conversations and that you're saying, you know, things are changing. Things are different. Why not? Let's try something new. So I appreciate that because we need to give perspective to some people that might be just scared to take that first step.
I know it's scary to step out into the unknown, but that's where all the good stuff is. That's where all the discovery is. So thank you for having me back on Super Mamas to talk about
that. Thank you. And tell us, I know you are, we already plugged in your website, but your socials, please tell us where the Super Mamas can find you, follow you, get more advice, go see what tips you had for Valentine's. Please tell us all the Damona things.
I am at Damona Hoffman on Instagram, TikTok, and X, I guess we have to call it X now, and Facebook as well. And we take questions for Dates and Mates every week. And Dates and Mates, like clockwork, every Tuesday, we drop new episodes. So we have an action-packed lineup for February and beyond. So those are the best places to connect.
Can you please start a series for married women? Because I want to in on the fun, you know? I want to like learn how to spice up my marriage. I want to learn all those things.
It's dates and mates. So I like to say like it's emphasis on the dates, but there is still the mates part in there. So there's always something. And I know like Loveline was my inspiration for starting the show. I loved hearing other people's stories and sort of learning and living vicariously through them. So there's something for everybody on Dates and Mates.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope I see you in person soon. we coordinate play dates and we do that over the time. We're efficient, girl. We're very efficient.
Aren't we? Super mamas.
Hey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also at @_supermamas and in the face at @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love
and see you next week, super mamas!